Hello, my name is Jan Caffrey, and you're listening to the Illinois Radio Readers. Today we'll be doing the Rantoul Press, today's edition of the Rantoul Press. Dewey Man, Being Held for Sexual Molestation of Teen, by Mary Schenck, from March 19th, 2020. Urbana, a Dewey man who allegedly sexually molested a teen after getting her drunk, is being held in the Champaign County Jail in lieu of a $500,000 bond. Josh Andrew Stover, 46, was criminally charged Thursday with four counts of aggravated criminal sexual abuse of a child, alleging inappropriate sexual conduct he had with a girl in a motel room in Rantoul on March 7th and 8th. Rantoul Police Sergeant Rodney Sullivan said the girl told a relative what happened, and Rantoul Police began an investigation after the relative contacted police. An interview of the girl was done at the Children's Advocacy Center on March 13th, Sullivan said. Stover was arrested Wednesday morning. Judge Tom DeFantis set the bond for Stover, who had a 2011 conviction for aggravated driving under the influence, court records said. If convicted, Stover faces an extended term of up to 14 years in prison on the Class II felony offenses. He was told to be back in court April 14th for a probable cause hearing. Champaign County has first confirmed coronavirus case. Champaign. The Champaign-Urbana Public Health District, or CUPHD, announced the first case of coronavirus disease, or COVID-19, in Champaign County. The resident is a female in her 50s and is in home isolation, recovering. Public health officials are identifying and contacting all close contacts. COVID-19 is a novel virus, which is different from the seasonal flu. Most people have little or no immunity due to the lack of exposure to the virus or similar viruses. It is extremely important that everyone help to stop the virus from spreading. CUPHD urges residents to stay home as much as possible, cancel large gatherings of 25 people or more, and call a health care provider before seeking treatment if you have symptoms. Individuals over the age of 60 and people who have serious chronic medical conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, and lung disease are at higher risk of getting sick from COVID-19. Extra precautions need to be taken by those most at risk, such as stocking up on supplies and medications and avoiding travel in crowds. Testing is currently based up presented symptoms, including a fever or signs or symptoms of lower respiratory illness, such as a cough and shortness of breath, and epidemiological risk factors, including contact and travel history. We are asking for the community's assistance, and we need people to take action now to reduce the number of cases at any one time so that our healthcare system is not overwhelmed. Continue to practice good preventive measures. Stay home when you are sick and avoid crowded places, said Julie Pride, public health administrator. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, you can take the following steps to help limit the spread of the virus. Everyday preventative actions, stay home when sick, cover your cough and sneezes with a tissue, dispose and wash hands. Wash hands with soap for at least 20 seconds. Clean frequently touched surfaces. During the pandemic, which is now, avoid close contact, practice social distancing, stay home if someone in your home is sick. For sick people, create a separate room for sick household members. Use a face mask at home or in public. Avoid sharing personal items. Postpone or cancel your attendance at large events. For up-to-date information on this changing situation, visit CUPHD's Facebook page and website at www.c-uphd.org. To have a coronavirus-related questions answered, email coronavirus@c-uphd.org or call the COVID-19 hotline at 217-239-7877 or go to IDPH hotline for Illinois residents at 800-889-3931. Illinois bars and restaurants are ordered closed in effort to slow coronavirus spread. From Springfield, Governor J.B. Pritzker took an unprecedented step Sunday to stem the spread of the coronavirus pandemic by ordering bars and restaurants in the state closed to the public starting on Tuesday, March 17th, which is both St. Patrick's Day and Illinois primary election day. Establishments will remain open to drive-through and delivery service, but in-store dining will be closed through March 30th. Restaurants and bars must close at the end of their business day on Monday. Schools will continue to provide meals to children, although classes in both public and private K-12 schools have been canceled during that same period. "I know how difficult this will be on small businesses around the state," Pritzker said during his daily news briefing Sunday in Chicago. "This is another hard step, but we must do everything that we can to safeguard the health and safety of citizens of the state of Illinois, and that requires urgent action." Sunday's actions were just the latest in a series of measures Pritzker has taken that together amount to what may be the broadest scale shutdown of social activity in modern memory in Illinois, even surpassing the security measures taken in the immediate wake of the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001. But the actions also are in line with guidance for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and other public health officials who say social distancing is one of the most effective ways of controlling the spread of the virus, for which there is not yet an effective vaccine. The actions also came as the state reported 29 new cases of novel coronavirus, COVID-19, bringing the statewide total to 93 cases in 13 counties in the state. Five additional counties are now reporting cases: Champaign, Clinton, Sangamon, Whiteside, and Winnebago. Other locations with cases include Chicago and Cook, Cumberland, DuPage, Kane, Lake McHenry, St. Clair, and Woodford counties. In addition to ordering bars and restaurants to close to the public, Pritzker also directed state agencies to scale down operations while maintaining core functions and essential services. That means select employees will continue to report to work, while others will either work remotely or remain at home on call. All state employees will continue to be paid during the work stoppage, the administration said. Sunday's briefing capped a weekend in which Pritzker engaged in a high-profile battle with the White House over its handling of the coronavirus outbreak, a battle that began when hundreds of international travelers returning to the United States were bottlenecked Saturday night at the Customs and Border Control checkpoints at O'Hare International Airport in Chicago. In a tweet directed specifically at the Trump administration, Pritzker lashed out, "The crowds and lines at O'Hare are unacceptable and need to be addressed immediately," he tweeted, @RealDonaldTrump@VP. "Since this is the only communication medium you pay attention to, you need to do something now. These crowds are waiting to get through customs, which is under federal jurisdiction." Speaking Sunday morning on NBC's Meet the Press, Pritzker accused the federal government of falling down on the job and leaving states to their own devices in responding to the pandemic. "We are the ones who've had to provide the leadership because the federal government just has fallen down on this," he said. "So they didn't advise us to shut down major events, sporting events, parades. We made those decisions on our own. They are not the ones that advised us to close schools. We made those decisions on our own. So we are on our own out here. I wish we had leadership from Washington. We are not getting it." Illinois U.S. Senators Dick Durbin and Tammy Duckworth Both Democrats also sounded off Sunday about the situation at O'Hare and other major airports in a letter to Chad Wolf, the acting secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. Not only do these extensive wait times cause issues for the airport and its travelers, but given the ongoing COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, it increases the risk for the city of Chicago and all who pass through it, as it contradicts current public health guidelines for masses of people to be in such close proximity to one another at this time, Durbin and Duckworth wrote. We request that you expedite the process of providing guidelines and the necessary resources, including staff and any required screening apparatus and processes to these 13 airports to ensure their operations are not disrupted and that the public health is preserved. By Sunday afternoon, Pritzker began downplaying his tensions with the White House, saying that he has been assured personally by Vice President Mike Pence and Customs and Border Patrol that Customs and Border Patrol would double its staff at O'Hare. I don't usually get heated on Twitter, and I always try to work through official channels when possible, Pritzker said during the briefing. But when I saw hundreds of people crammed together for many hours at O'Hare in exactly the conditions I have been warning about for days, I was furious. Piatt County limits the hearing of court cases due to the virus. Due to the global coronavirus pandemic, the Piatt and Moultrie County courts will reduce operations in order to minimize personal contact and deter the spread of the COVID-19 coronavirus. The following procedures and rules are consistent with Supreme Court recommendations and shall remain in effect through March 31st, unless extended by further order of the court. The following Piatt and Moultrie County cases and court proceedings are postponed through March 31st, unless extended further by the court. Traffic, conservation, and ordinance violation cases. Criminal misdemeanor cases, except for those defendants in custody. Probate, except guardianship cases, will proceed unless ordered otherwise. Small claims and mortgage foreclosures, family court. Juvenile cases, with the exceptions set forth below. The attorney of record and unrepresented party in each case will receive a notice in the mail rescheduling their case. It is the responsibility of the litigant to assure your current address is on file with the clerk. Upon rescheduling, the public access website, www.judici.com, will be updated with new court cases or new court dates. Currently, scheduled status dates may be converted to phone conference upon request. Emergency matters may be scheduled on a case-by-case basis. Individuals shall contact the clerk of the circuit clerk for each county for purposes of scheduling emergency matters. The following cases and court proceedings will be held as scheduled with appearances expected for all litigants. Criminal felony cases, juvenile hearings, temporary detention hearings, shelter care hearings, trials, adjudicatory hearings. Domestic violence proceedings for order of protection, stalking, no contact orders, or civil or no contact orders. Emergency hearings on family matters, as scheduled by the court. Other cases on case-by-case basis and discretion of the court with consent of the parties. Marriage ceremonies. The court will continue to perform marriage ceremonies, but minor children will not be allowed to attend and will be prohibited from entering the courtroom. Individuals shall not enter the courthouse if they have been in any of the following countries in the last 21 days: China, South Korea, Italy, Japan, Iran, or reside with or had close contact with anyone who has been in one of the above countries within the last 21 days, or have been directed by medical quarantine, isolate, or self-monitor at home for the coronavirus, have been diagnosed with or have had close contact with anyone diagnosed with COVID-19, or have flu-like symptoms including fever, cough, or shortness of breath. If you are an attorney or litigant and you are unable to appear in court as required because of the above restrictions, please contact the respective courthouse. The court should make reasonable accommodations and reschedule appearances and hearings as needed. Continuances will be liberally granted. Cleaning staff will continue to disinfect touch surfaces, and hand sanitizers is provided throughout the building, including the courtroom. The court strongly encourages litigants not to bring family or friends to court appearances in any case. It is our aim to preserve access to justice while proceeding in a manner consistent with public health and safety, in line with policy directives from federal, state, and local public health advisories. Thank you for your patience. From obituaries, Karna Hendershot. Karna Peterson Hendershot, 82 of Champaign, a native of Paxton, died Tuesday, March 17th in Savoy. Marilyn Jean Swahula. Marilyn Jean Swahula, 89 of Rantoul, died early Friday morning, March 13th, 2020, at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. Robert Nielsen. Robert H. Bob Nielsen, 78 of Paxton, died at 6:45 p.m. Tuesday, March 10th, 2020, at home. Carolyn Daniels Carter. Carolyn Daniels Carter, 85 of Paxton, died at 10:40 p.m. Sunday, March 8th, at home. Doris Reynolds, 81, of Farmer City, mother of a Rantoul resident, died at 8:48 p.m. Monday, March 9th, 2020, at home. Marion Huel Feos. Dr. Marion Huel Feos, 88, died Monday, March 2nd, 2020, surrounded by her children in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, after a long battle with Alzheimer's. Cheryl Reed, March 9th, 2020. Rodney Whaley, March 9th, 2020. Mary Stallone, 89, of Paxton, died Saturday, February 29th, 2020, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Larry E. Carter, 78, of Spartanburg, South Carolina, and formerly of Paxton, died Monday, March 2nd, 2020. Peggy Lou Rose, 84, of Williamsport, Indiana, formerly of Armstrong, died at 8:55 a.m., Tuesday, March 3rd, at Franciscan Health, Lafayette, Indiana. Joe Pearson, 80, a resident of Forres, Scotland, formerly of Rantoul, died Thursday, January 30th, 2020. Vernon Lushen, 84, of Paxton, died at 8:14 p.m. Sunday, March 1st, 2020, at home. Bernard Emkes, March 3rd, 2020. Bernard Emkes, 98, of Seymour, Indiana, a Rantoul native, died on March 1st of 2020. Ricky Fayard, Sr., 62, of Bismarck, died Saturday, February 29, 2020, at home. Howard McKellop, 85, of Rantoul, died Sunday, March 1st, 2020, at home. And back to the news. Lincoln's Challenge Cadets sent home. Rantoul. Like students everywhere, Lincoln's Challenge Academy cadets will not be continuing classes or duties until at least the end of March. Whether cadets will have to wait to resume classes the next semester remains to be seen. Fisher Scholastic Bowl Team wins regional. The Fisher High School Scholastic Bowl Team is regional champion. Event to honor Tuskegee Airmen postponed. An event to honor the Tuskegee Airmen in Rantoul this month has been postponed over concerns regarding the coronavirus. Fisher becomes member of Champaign County Chamber. The Fisher Village Board voted to contribute $2,000 toward the membership of the Fisher Area Business Association in the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. Ludlow likely to get interest rate boost for a new project. The Village of Ludlow might be preparing to borrow money at just the right time for its new water main project. RTHS Leader Group forming. In an effort to improve student ownership of the school, Rantoul Township High School administrators are forming a 67-student leadership team drawn from this year's freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. PVO selects firms to install South Elementary roof. From Royal, Top Quality Roofing was selected to install the new roof on South Elementary this summer. Food distribution set for March 28th in Rantoul. St. Paul's Lutheran Church of Gifford will sponsor a food distribution on Saturday, March 28th at Community Service Center, 520 East Wabash Avenue in Rantoul. Two Potomac Armstrong players honored at the Junior High Classic. Two Potomac Armstrong basketball players were recently honored with an invitation to the All-State Junior High Classic held at Lincoln's Challenge. Tuskegee street naming postponed. Rantoul Village officials would still like to name a street Tuskegee Drive, but the original location was scrapped for now. From reduced travel to trade deal with China, coronavirus expected to take its toll on ethanol industry. Dewey, if America grinds to a halt because of the coronavirus, farmers could see lower corn prices, a University of Illinois agricultural economist told Farmers and Dewey. The Rantoul Public Library will be closed from March 17th until at least March 30th. Rantoul Schools planning for student meals during shutdown. In light of Governor J.B. Pritzker's orders that all Illinois schools be closed from March 17th through the end of the month, Rantoul City Schools and Rantoul Township High School will work together to provide meals for school children starting March 23rd. As of March 16th, Champaign County has had its first confirmed coronavirus case. Effective Saturday morning, the Village of Rantoul will be closing Forum Fitness Center and Rantoul Youth Center until further notice due to concerns over the coronavirus. Two area residents charged with a variety of crimes. A Rantoul man and a Gifford woman who were in a stolen car that had a gun and other people's debit cards and checks have been charged with a number of crimes. Governor J.B. Pritzker ordered all schools in the state to be closed from March 17th through the end of the month. Runner-up in judge race wants a recount. The runner-up in Tuesday's Democratic primary for a Champaign County judgeship said she intends to ask for a full recount of the paper ballots. With the vote count this close, I think either side should want that, Urbana attorney Ruth Wyman said Wednesday, less than 24 hours after her apparent second-place finish to Ramona Sullivan. Around 9:45 p.m., when returns posted on County Clerk Aaron Amon's website reported all 118 precincts had been counted, Sullivan was ahead by 148 votes. On Wednesday, that site had slightly higher numbers for the four candidates, but Sullivan was still in front by 157 votes. Troy Lozer remained in third and David Moore in fourth place. Neither Amons nor his chief deputy, Angie Patton, returned calls to explain the differences. Wyman said she had no explanation either. "I think it's important that there are paper ballots," she said. Likewise, Lozer and Moore said they had no explanation for the different numbers. Sullivan did not return a message seeking comment. With less than 1% of the vote separating Ramona Sullivan and I in the Democratic primary, and more than 1,500 outstanding Democratic vote-by-mail ballots requested but not yet counted, we have nearly 2 weeks before all ballots have to be received by the county clerk's office to be counted, Wyman said. "I look forward to continuing to observe, to be part of the democratic process, and see that every vote is counted." Wyman said she and Sullivan spent part of Wednesday at the clerk's office observing as mailed-in ballots were opened. "I've been watching them feeding them into their machines. One of my interns is there now to observe vote-by-vote counting and make sure everything is kosher," Wyman said. "We're just trying to make sure democracy works." Illinois State Board of Elections spokesman Matt Dietrich said mail-in ballots had to be postmarked by March 17th in order to be counted, but don't have to be received by the clerk until the end of the month. Wyman said she and her interns were told that 701 additional ballots arrived in the clerk's mail Wednesday. Their procedure is that they open the envelope, check the signature with the voter file. If they appear to match, then they remove the envelope and put the ballot into the vote counting machine, Wyman said. They will not open up the machine again until March 31st, when the last ballots have been fed in. That's also the date when the machine will give its results. Patton told the News Gazette she would check the records to see how many voters requested ballots by mail, but had yet to supply that information. Earlier, she said that as of the end of Monday, 2,064 mail-in ballots had been received by the clerk's office, and another 13,235 people had voted early at polling places, representing almost half of the people who voted in the primary. Wyman said there could be innocent explanations for the difference in numbers, but she wants to hear them. "I don't want to sound paranoid. You have to have a basic amount of trust, but you have to be able to verify as well," she said. "I can only imagine the enormous cost for that. I don't have independent wealth, but that's what credit cards are for." Area election results. Vermilion County school tax hike goes down to the defeat. A proposal to raise Vermilion County sales tax by 1%, mirroring its neighbor Champaign County, to benefit schools went down to defeat in Tuesday's primary election. Voters turned down the measure 6,392 to 5,555. In this area, Armstrong Township High School would have received an additional $42,000 a year and planned to use it to upgrade the HVAC system, while Armstrong Ellis Grade School, $31,000, would have used it to improve older facilities. Potomac Grade School would have received an additional $73,000 a year, which would have gone to fix a major sewer issue, update some bathrooms and flooring, and to remove asbestos. Champaign County totals. Champaign County went for Bernie. Illinois preferred Biden. In a repeat of 2016, Bernie Sanders was the choice Democratic primary voters in Champaign County, winning margin 11,676 to 10,879, but lost handily statewide Tuesday. 4 years ago, it was to eventual nominee Hillary Clinton. This year, it was to the surging Joe Biden. One difference between then and now, voter turnout. In Champaign County, where the coronavirus pandemic has hogged headlines for a week, just 32,086 primary votes were cast, down a record 59,003 in the same election 4 years earlier. Other big winners Tuesday, Ramona Sullivan, who emerged from a field of four Democrats running for Champaign County resident judge, winning the closest call of the night, 8,967 to 8,819 over runner-up Ruth Wyman. The Democratic Champaign County Board challengers, who went a combined 4-for-4 against incumbents with Emily Rodriguez routing Chairman Geraldo Rosales, 857 to 185 in District 8. Also cruising, Deshaun Williams, 6, Jennifer Straub, 9, and Mary King, 10. Democrat Betsy Dirksen of Dirksen-Londrigan, who will get a second crack at the U.S. Representative Rodney Davis's 13th district seat, which she lost in a photo finish in 2018. Oakland Republican Mary Miller and Mattoon Democrat Erica Weaver, who will square off for John Shimka's 15th congressional district, and Republican Sarah Perry, Piatt County's next state attorney, and Circuit Clerk winners Nathan Burton of Douglas and Camille Johnson Anderson of Ford, and Susan McGrath, who will represent the Democrats in November's Champaign County Circuit race. You have been listening to From the Bookshelf, brought to you each week by the Illinois Radio Readers. Today we've been reading from the Rantoul Press. My name is Jan Caffrey. Thank you for listening.